morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Please join me in a short prayer. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Can you remember when you made your profession of faith? Perhaps it was right here in this church. For me, it was at a Promise Keepers rally in Three Rivers Stadium. It was just after Billy Graham finished speaking on being a man of faith. He asked that everyone who wanted to affirm or reaffirm their faith in Jesus to come down onto the field. Even though I had considered myself a Christian my whole life, I felt compelled to go. On my knees in the grass, with tears in my eyes, I asked Jesus to truly change my heart and to become my Lord and Savior. For a while after that, I was confident in my salvation until I read today's scripture. I don't know about you, but for me, today's scripture was unsettling. Reading what Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. This shook my confidence. Up to that point, I thought my salvation was a simple formula. Go to church, believe in God, repent of my sins, and say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Then presto, I'd be saved. However, reading today's scripture, I feared that I had missed something. I envisioned that someday I would be standing before Jesus saying, but Jesus, I believed in you. I called you my Lord and Savior. I went to church most Sundays. I served as an elder and as a deacon. I tithed. I taught Sunday school. Then I imagined Jesus would say to me, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And do not do what I say. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. Since then I have come to understand that gaining salvation is more than simply saying the words, I believe in God, or claiming Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Claiming Jesus as your Lord of your life is committing your life to being obedient to His will. What is God's will? Some say it is God's will that this or that happened. Like, it is God's will that I became a missionary, or it is God's will that I didn't win the Powerball this year. In the context of salvation, however, His will is for us to believe in Jesus Christ, repent of our sin, live a holy life, and to love God and one another. It was the loving God part that I missed. It is true that God's will is for everyone to be righteous through the sin sacrifice of Jesus Christ and to receive salvation as a result of His grace. This is the good news of the gospel in the New Testament. But so too is God's will for us to love one another, even our enemies, with God's agape love. It is the basis of God's commandments. Jesus affirmed this when he answered an expert in the law who asked, which is the greatest commandment? In Matthew 22, 37 through 40, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then he went on to say, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. But Jesus didn't stop there. In Matthew 5, 43 through 48, he said, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, What reward is that? Are you not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. For me, it was difficult to love everyone, especially those I considered my enemies. How can I love a person who hurts me, or a person who talks about me behind my back, or someone who murders innocent children? However, Jesus made no exceptions. The answer is the difference between God's love and human love. In 11th grade, my English teacher gave the class the assignment to write a theme on an abstract concept like love. I, like most of the class, went to Webster's Dictionary for the definition. Webster describes love as an emotion or a feeling. It is an affection for someone arising out of kinship, common interest, or desire. Human love is self-centered. It depends on how we feel about the other person. As long as we feel good about what the other person does, we love them. However, as soon as that person does something that wrong or something that we don't think is right, we hate them. This is the kind of love is not enduring. It can be easily destroyed with a simple word. On the other hand, the way at the end of Webster's definition, he describes God's love as an unselfish and unconditional benevolent concern for the good of one another. An example of God's love is described in John 3:16 through 17. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We have not done anything that makes God feel good about us. In fact, we do just the opposite. We sin. We don't love one another all the time. But despite that, God still loves us all the time. The Greeks have a special word for God's love. They call it agape. Paul offers a wonderful description of agape love in 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 6. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Throughout the Old Testament and the Gospels, God's commandments to us is to emulate him in love for one another with agape love. Peter, John, and Paul continued to encourage us to agape love for one another in their epistles. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:22 through 23, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of the imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." It's amazing, I pushed the button and the page doesn't turn. In 1 John 4:7 through 21, John encourages us to love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. We love because first he loved us. Whoever claims to love God and hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And then Paul contrasts the fruits of the flesh with the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:19 through 23. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, self-ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Jesus warned us that every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. These are just some examples taken from the epistles. I encourage you to search for the other examples of God's agape love in the Bible and model it in your daily walk with Jesus. Find for yourself how agape love manifests itself in true Christians through the uplifting of others who do wrong with prayer, forgiving others who wrong us, and honoring others at all times. For true Christians are known by their agape love. Christian hypocrites are recognized for their lack of agape love. Every time we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, we ask for God's kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are the fulfillment of this prayer when we act with agape's love for one another and forgive those who have wronged us as God has forgiven us. Jesus has called us not only to repent and receive salvation, but also to have a change of heart, to be born again. God sent us the Holy Spirit so that we can bear the good fruit of the Spirit and be known by the good fruit we produce, our agape love for everyone. This is God's will on earth. I'd like to take a second to end in prayer. Dear God, create in us an obedient heart that knows your will of loving one another, so that in the end, when we cry out, "Lord, Lord," you answer, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And all God's people said, Amen.